Spirit. And all right. So Galatians 5, but I'm going to just in way of just refreshing our memory, it's been a couple of weeks since we've been here. I'm just going to start reading verse number 16 and down through the end of the chapter, just to refresh our memories, and then we'll get into the fruit of the Spirit. It says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another and envying one another." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity, Lord, just to be able to gather once again. Father, thank you that we do have the freedom to do so. And Lord, as we do come in here this morning, and Father, the cares and the worries, the anxieties of this past week, Lord, I pray that we would be able to just lay them at your feet and focus on you this morning. Father, I do pray for the Sunday school hour here and the Sunday school classes that are taking place downstairs and various places in this building, Lord. Pray that you'd be with those teachers. Use them mightily today. Please be with the students, Father, that they would be attentive and learn. And Father, that their hearts would be tender and that they would grow in their knowledge, wisdom and knowledge of you. Father, for our class here, I just pray that you would just speak to our hearts, Lord. Help us, challenge us, strengthen us. Father, just draw us a little bit closer to you today. Father, it's a great privilege, Lord, for us to be able to gather here. Please help us, Lord, to focus on you. And Father, I just pray that we would edify one another. And Lord, everything that takes place here today would just honor and glorify you. Thank you for everything that you have done for us, your many blessings to us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right. It's the fruit of the Spirit. So you remember last time we were in this portion of Scripture, I dealt with all the works of the flesh. I did it all in one lesson. It was kind of depressing. It was kind of a downer. And I wanted to get that all out of the way so that we could get to the fruit of the Spirit. But when I laid out the outline of what I was going to do on each week and everything, I was going to spend 1 week on the works of the flesh. I'd spend another week on the fruits of the Spirit and then get into some other things. And as I was working on this week and spending some time on this, I felt that 1 week on the fruit of the Spirit just wasn't enough. So we're going to divide it up into little groups here. I am hoping this morning to get through love, joy, peace, and long-suffering. But we'll see how it goes time-wise here. There's just so much in the Scriptures about these, the fruits of the Spirit. And it's interesting, the list of the works of the flesh actually seems longer, or it is actually longer, than the list of the fruits of the Spirit. But when we look at the fruits of the Spirit, each one of them is a complete contrast to what we've seen as the works of the flesh. That's why in verse 16, when it says, "This I say, then walk in the Spirit, ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would." You know, it's interesting here. We see that old flesh, the works of the flesh, and now, once we're saved, we have the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, living in us, and the fruit that the Holy Spirit bears in us, working against those things that of our flesh, you know. And as we go through these, We'll draw some comparison and some correlation here, but we're certainly going to be able to understand this. You know, I can't tell you exactly. I've got a Bible that has all the dates and everything. I can't tell you how long ago this was written, but it was written a long time ago. And the amazing thing about the Scriptures is that just how applicable it is to us today for our everyday living, and just that we can learn from it, grow from it, and give us what we need right now, where we live right now, and be able to live according to God's will and God's Word. Now, the first thing I wanted to look at, and we have looked at this in the past, though, but it is the fruit of the Spirit. It's not a natural talent. It's not something that we have within us. It's something that the Spirit brings when the Holy Spirit comes in to dwell in us. And then he gives us this list, and it's amazing. And we know from the Scriptures, you know, back in Matthew chapter 7, Matthew chapter 12, and so forth, it talks about knowing the tree by its fruit, you know. And we know, you know, when we come together, we know the Scripture where it says that His Spirit beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And we know that when the Spirit is in us, there's a connection with fellow believers on not just a personal level, but also that spiritual, that we both have the Holy Spirit in us, and that we have that that commonness, that there's just something about coming together with God's people. You know what I'm trying to say here, even though I'm not grabbing all the words. But it just, when we walk through those doors and we come into the church here, being saved, it should be pleasurable. It should be enjoyable. We're with the brothers and the sisters in Christ. We're with our spiritual family as we come to gather in here. And, you know, there should be a letting off of some of the pressures that we face out there in the world, so that we can come in here and edify one another and pray for one another, hear the preaching of the word, sing the songs, praise God, and just be able to spend that time in feeding and encouraging each other spiritually. And it's interesting that in the fruit of the Spirit here, the very first one that is listed is love. It's no coincidence, if you would, or happenstance or anything like that. There's a reason why love is first. And love is so important to God. We know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We know the love that God has shown to us. And we know from the book of 1 John just how important love is, and the love that God has shown us. And it tells us that God is love. And so I didn't want to go through all of those verses again. I'm sure they're very familiar to you. But what I wanted to do is I wanted to look at the word love itself and look at what Jesus had to say, what the New Testament had to say about love. Because what are we supposed to do? The fruit of the Spirit in us being love, being the first one, what does that mean to the believer? And so as I was studying this, the word love is found in the New Testament 180 times. And the first time that we find the word love is in Matthew chapter 5. If you'll turn over there with me. Matthew chapter 5. The first time that we find love in the New Testament is in Matthew chapter 5. In Matthew chapter 5, and I'm going to just start reading in verse number 43. Matthew 5, in verse 43, it says, "Ye have heard that it hath been said, Thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect." You know, isn't it interesting that when we look at the works of the flesh, we see wrath and strife and emulations and hatred and, you know, those things. The first fruit of the Spirit we find is love. And the first time that we find love in the New Testament, Jesus is telling us to love our enemies, love our neighbors, love those that would do evil against you. Isn't that completely opposite of what the works of the flesh would be? I mean, when somebody does something against you, I mean, that natural reaction, the flesh reaction is, I want to get even. There's a revenge. There's a vengefulness that sometimes will dwell up within us. But the fruit of the Spirit is to actually show love to that person, to actually show love to those that do wrong to us. How is that even possible? Well, it's easy. It's because of the Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit. And it's interesting, the fruits of the Spirit, when we look at these and we look at this list of them, these fruits of the Spirit are not conditional upon what we're going through in our lives. It's not in direct relation to our circumstances. Okay? Because it's easy to feel love when everybody around you is showing you love. It's easy to be joyful when everything's going your way. It's easy to feel peace when everything just seems to have fallen into place. But you know, the fruit of the Spirit is that we show love when somebody doesn't show love to us. The fruit of the Spirit is that we have joy when maybe there aren't so much joyful things going on around us. The fruit of the Spirit is having peace when there may not be so much peace going on around us. Because it flows from within us, it's not dictated by what we're going through. It's not dictated by outside circumstances. It is the fruit of the Spirit dwelling in us and those things showing forth. Now, in our day and age, you know, in this, if I can use a worldly term, in this day of inclusiveness, we definitely see a lot more aggression. We definitely see a lot more anger. We definitely see a lot more acting out and physically acting out and things like that. But the Scriptures tell us that we are to be at peace and that we are to be, peaceful and that we are to show love. I want to show you some more verses on what the New Testament says about love. In Matthew chapter 22, if you'll turn over there, Matthew chapter 22, verse number 34. Matthew 22, verse 34. It's interesting, before I read this, I've been doing my own little study on the life of Christ and going through the gospel accounts, Matthew, Mark, Luke. I'm in Luke now, getting ready to go into John and such. It's so interesting at how many times the Pharisees or the Sadducees tried to trip up Jesus and how he always answered them so well. And I mean, of course he would. He's the Lord Jesus. But just the efforts that they went through to try to get him to say something wrong or to do something wrong, you know. Think about that in our day and age now, in this, like I said, inclusiveness. Where is the magnifying glass most shown? It's on the Christian, isn't it? And I mean the true Christian. I'm not talking the worldly view of Christianity. I'm talking about the true Christian, the true follower of God. It seems like we are under a much stricter microscope as far as the world is concerned. Seems like anybody can do anything they want, but as soon as believers make a stand or say something, boy, the whole world just kind of comes down on them for it and such. And it's interesting that as Jesus walked this earth, they tried so hard to find reasons to hate him and to despise him. And the Lord definitely addresses that. We know that in the Scriptures. In Matthew 22, verse 34, it says, "But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, 'Master, which is the great commandment in the law?' And Jesus said unto him, 'Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. You know, he tells them here to love thy neighbor, to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. And you know, those Pharisees, they say, of course, absolutely. And then he goes on to say, and the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. You know, the commands that we have to show love and to be loving, even to those that may not necessarily be loving or be lovable. In John chapter 13, if you'll turn over there with me, John chapter 13. John chapter 13, in verse number 31, John 13, verse 31, it says, therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself, and shall straightway glorify him. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. Ye shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, ye cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. You know, when we show love, especially love one to another, but when we show love when everything else in us would want to seek some sort of revenge or some, paying somebody back in a bad way or something like that, it speaks to those around that are watching. Our love to one another and the love that we show, that fruit of the Spirit, that love, it is a living testimony to those around us of the relationship that we have with Jesus Christ. If you turn just over maybe a couple of pages, John chapter 15. John chapter 15, in verse number 9, it says, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. You know, we are to abide in his love. We are to keep that relationship with him close. We are to have a close and a dear relationship with the Lord. And the Spirit that lives in us gives us these fruits, and these fruits are a living testimony to those around us of the relationship that we have with Jesus Christ. If you come with me over to Luke chapter 6, Luke chapter 6, this is another, this is Luke's account of what we saw in Matthew chapter 5. But I want you to just see, he brings out just a little more details, a little more things here. And I just think it's a great picture and a great encouragement for us as far as how we should show love. Now, again, it's going to be similar to Matthew 5, but there are going to be some things that he says just a little bit different here. So in Luke 6, verse 27, it says, but I say unto you which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you. Isn't it interesting how in verse 27 it says, but I say unto you which hear, you know, pay attention, you know, I'm speaking here. And, you know, we in this day, you know, we read our Bibles and we have the full account and we know what's going to happen and all that and everything. But to think that there would be people sitting in Jesus' presence and not paying attention. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's human nature, you know. It's okay. Grab that little kid's face and go, listen to me. I'm talking to you. Listen to me. You know, we've all been there, right? Luke chapter 6, 27. But I say unto you, which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you. Bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you, And unto him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. For if ye love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. And if ye do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do even the same. And if ye lend to them of whom ye hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners, to receive as much again. But love ye your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great. Ye shall be the children of the Highest. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. I'm just going to read a couple of verses to you. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed. Now listen to this. This is Romans 5:5. Because the love of God is shed abroad in your hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. How can we show that kind of love? The Holy Spirit gives us that strength. The Holy Spirit gives us that ability. Wherefore, Ephesians 1:15-16 says this, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, and love unto all saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. In Ephesians 1, this is that example of love being a testimony. In Ephesians there, when Paul's writing, he says, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. I said when we began this, there's 180 times that we find love in the New Testament. I thought it very interesting. I pointed out the first one. I also want us to take a look at the last. The last time we find the word love in the New Testament is in Revelation chapter 3. Would you turn over there with me, please? Revelation chapter 3. I'm sure that many of you are familiar with this. In Revelation 2 and 3, Revelations chapter 2 and chapter 3, we have the letters to the churches. And these were real, literal churches. These were churches of that day, and these were real churches that these letters were written to. But in this, if we look at it prophetically, these churches are also indications of our church age. And we know that being in the last days and in the end times, we are in that Laodicean church age. And all we have to do is look around us. We know that we're in the Laodicean age. We see churches that have compromised on so many things. We see a lot of churches that have just all in all closed their doors. And you know, I think one of the greatest attacks on the church, without people even really realizing it, was COVID. I mean, I'm just going to say it. I mean, certainly there was a fear aspect. There was a cautious aspect. There was, you know, these kind of things. But it was amazing at how many churches were told that they couldn't meet and other things were left open. You know, there were bars that were left open. We found it amazing. We found it amazing. I don't know why the state of New Hampshire does this. I know it's the liquor stores. I don't know why they're all state liquor stores. I don't know what the whole reasoning behind that was or when that started or anything like that. But I found it very, very amazing that these little mom-and-pop stores had to shut their doors, but every one of those liquor stores stayed open, every single one of them. I just didn't get it. I don't know. You know, we have a pandemic that has such a contagious element to it, and our big department stores, we close all the entrances except one and make everybody walk in and out that one when we're in the middle of this highly contagious. Hello? What's the sense in that, you know? There were a lot of churches that closed. You may not realize that there are still churches that are closed because of COVID. And they said, hey, we got live stream. Let's live stream. And people went, hey, I can go to church and not even leave my house. And the church doors opened and attendance was drastically affected because of COVID. Still drastically affected because of COVID. Now, I'm going to tell you, when COVID started, I was not right with the Lord. I was not in a good place spiritually. And the fact that we couldn't go to church to me was a good thing. I was like, fine, I don't want to go anyway. So I would sit in my chair with my cup of coffee, in my lounge pants and my T-shirt, and just watch a service somewhere. And I'll tell you, when I got COVID, and I ended up in the hospital, and when I finally woke up and realized all the things that had happened, Pastor Boyce came to visit, Pastor Andrew and Bill came to visit, Keith came to visit. There's a lot of people that came to visit me, and I'm so thankful for it. I had a group of ladies come in one day. There was probably five or six of them came in and just visited with me and such. I got to be honest with you. One of the things that COVID did for me is it woke me up spiritually. It woke me up mentally. It woke me up. It just woke me up. Can I just say it that way? And I could not wait to see you folks again. I couldn't wait to get back in here and be in the presence of God's people again. Because you know what? Sitting at home or sitting in a hospital bed or sitting somewhere and just kind of trying to go through those motions, boy, you miss so much. There's something about walking in the door. I walked in that door this morning. I just kind of looked around and I see people visiting and fellowshipping. And I walked through the door. Now, we're about 15 minutes away. And I was late this morning. I came down the stairs and I'm like, we got 10 minutes. We got to go. Get in the car, cruising on over here. I see blue lights, but they're coming at me. So I felt better about that. Slow down. You know, got to get to church. We got to get there. I walk in the door, and everybody's just visiting, fellowship. And I'll tell you, there was just this peace. It was just like, it's all good. It's all good. I promise I will do better next week. I will try to do better next week. Revelation chapter 3, I'm going to start reading verse 14. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. Here's the verse. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. This is the last verse in the Bible that we find the word love. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Look at verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Verse 19, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. And then verse 20. I remember my grandparents had a picture of this verse of Jesus standing at a door and knocking. And the painting, if you've ever seen that painting, the painting of that, there's no doorknob on Jesus' side. He's knocking on the door and he's waiting for them to open the door from the inside. And we hear this verse so many times talking about salvation, you know. He's knocking at the door. If you'll just open the door, he'll come in. But the context of this verse is a letter to a church. And he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Can you imagine being part of a church where Christ did not feel welcome? Or rather, where Christ wasn't welcome. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. Now we see in this verse that it is personal. If any man or woman, you understand the context here, you understand the writing here. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. And you think, so you mean there's churches that have unsaved people? Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Absolutely. There are churches this morning that are gathered, probably packed right out. And there is no gospel. There is no true repentance. There's no salvation there at all. Say, are you judging? I'm just telling you the facts, folks. There are people have adopted a comfortable religion in place of a true relationship with Jesus Christ. How many times have you heard this? Maybe you haven't. I've heard this a lot. I like going to my church because it makes me feel good. Now, I told you, when I walked through the door this morning, there was just this peace. The fellowship of the brethren. That does feel good. But you know something? There are times when the scriptures are opened, and boy, I've said this before, it's toe curling, you know? Get my toes out of the way because they're getting ready to get stepped on, you know? I had in Bryant Pond, there was a fellow that I was working with so much, and he was struggling. He had some things that he just was having such a hard time with. And so at the end of the service, I would be out back, and people would come out as they're leaving, and I would greet each one and say goodbye to each one. And he came out one day, and he shook my hand. And you know how you just kind of get in that habit? You just kind of shake your hand and get ready to go on to the next person. And I'm shaking his hand. I get ready to go on to the next person, and he grabs a hold. He's got a hold of me. And I looked at him, and I said, what's the matter? And he pulls me in a little bit closer and he goes, next week, would you please pick on someone else? And he walked out the door. And I laughed. He laughed too. He knew. But you know, the Holy Spirit was working on him. I didn't know when I prepared the messages. I didn't know when I was preparing the lessons and things like that. I don't know how the Holy Spirit's going to use that in someone's life. I don't know what every one of you is going through. I don't know what you just came through this week. I just, when I prepare these lessons, and I know this of our pastors as well, we pray and just, Lord, what does the people need? What does someone need this week to just help them, to just encourage them, to strengthen them, you know? And, you know, as we look at these scriptures and we do these things, the Holy Spirit working through this and having this time, and, you know, sometimes the message that we hear is something that we need to hear, but we might not like to hear. Anybody ever been there? I've been there. I've just been like, oh, man, you know. I heard one evangelist one time, he says, I keep getting accused of meddling and not preaching. He goes, I'm just preaching, you know, and stuff. But, you know, sometimes we need to get our toes stepped on. Sometimes we need to face some things that we're struggling with so that we can know that, okay, there is a fix for this. There is something that we can do. And, you know, when we look at this portion of Scripture here, the Laodicean church, and being the Laodicean church age, you know, we certainly see that. You know, there's there's a number of churches that have just given up to the really to the world, to the flesh, to the devil, and just they still meet, but there's just no presence of God there. There's no presence of the Holy Spirit there. I remember it was quite some years ago that I saw this, but as I was reading through, and I thought, wow, the context of Revelation 3:20 is in a letter to a church. And that I just found that to be so amazing. Verse number 19, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. I hope that you can feel some comfort in that. You know, certainly we don't want to go through the rebuking and the chastening of the Lord. It's a tough thing to go through. But we know that those he loves, he rebukes and he chastens. And then he says, be zealous, therefore, and repent. You know, when the Lord does show us something, when he does rebuke us, when he does chasten us, we do have a responsibility to react to that. You know, when we're sitting and we're listening to a message and it's very personal and the Holy Spirit's really dealing with us, we have a responsibility to respond to that. Maybe there is something in our life that needs to change. Maybe there is an attitude that needs to be adjusted. Maybe there is something that just needs to be tweaked a little bit, you know, and that we're struggling with. That's the purpose of this, so that we can become more Christ-like, so that we can grow in our faith and our relationship with Jesus Christ. And knowing this, that when we are rebuked and chastened, we are done. It's done through his love, through God's love to us. Then we need to be zealous, and if need be, we need to repent. Get things right. Get right with the Lord. The next one is joy. We're not going to get there today. I was talking to Becky. I said, I'm going to have to break these up into groups. I said, I can't do it all in one. And she goes, well, however many fruits of the Spirit, she goes, do one each week. And I was like, oh, I can't do that. Well, we got through love. So we'll have to see how far we get with joy next week, okay? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this time. Thank you for your word. Lord, help us to never, ever take it for granted. Lord, your word is so precious and so so important to us. Father, we have the ability to hold your word in our hands, to read it, to study it, and to grow from it. Lord, help us to be zealous. Zealous for you and zealous in our relationships with you. Help us, Lord, that as we go through our life, that the fruit of the Spirit will shine forth and be that living testimony to those around us. Help us, Lord, to just live lives that are pleasing to you. Lord, we give you all the honor and the glory. Thank you for what you've done. Thank you for the Holy Spirit coming in, dwelling within us, bringing these fruits, bringing these abilities. Lord, thank you for it. We just thank you. Please be with the morning service. Pastor Andrew, as he brings forth the message, Lord, prepare our hearts for that message. We just, again, Lord, I just thank you so much for us being able to gather here today. In Jesus' name, amen.